Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Role-Playing Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan, I'm your host, and I've got a special co-host with me today, Tony fucking Kupo. Actually, he hates when I do that, so it's Anthony fucking Kupo.
Okay, it's okay. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
We have with us a very special guest, Chris P. or Chris Pronosky, the founder and president of Titmouse.
Hey.
And we are calling this our We Know Where the Bodies Are Buried edition of Between Two GMs.
Yeah. So. Nice.
How you doing, Chris?
Good. Good.
Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
And your super busy schedule. Yeah. I want to start off by congratulating you on getting Vox Machina a fourth season signed. Yeah. That's awesome.
Nice. We're making it.
I also saw that you've got 25 years, this 25th anniversary of Downtown.
Yeah. You could get t-shirts on the titmousestuff.com if you want to buy Downtown t-shirts. Yeah. Sorry if I went too early with the plug. Started with the plug.
It's never too early
to plug. Is that .com or .net? How do I start?
I want to give our listeners a little bit of background. Yeah. You know, since we are like relative nobodies, how do we get this award-winning animation studio to come talk to us? Well,
payola.
Blackmail. It's blackmail, and the man with the blackmail is Mr. Tony Kupo. Chris, do you have any deep dark secrets that you can share about Tony Kupo? Something that would really embarrass him and possibly get him blacklisted?
We only have an hour, but go ahead.
Yeah. I wasn't prepared for that kind of question. I do remember when this one shoot we were doing back in school where the equipment fell off the back of the truck and then like had to go to the police station.
Yeah,
and they fucking actually found it and nobody stole it. Somebody turned it in. That's the story. Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
It might be a story. I don't know.
Yeah. I do remember this one time when we were at this bar in like the Lower East Side called Bodega.
Yeah.
And we were getting real drunk, and Tony Kupo and I decided that it was going to be a fun time to start hurling full glasses of liquor at each other, and they were smashing against the walls. And I guess the bouncers came up to us, and they were ready to fight us. And that's when we realized that we were the assholes, you know, because they looked like they looked at us like we were going to put up a fight, and then we were like, "Oh wait, maybe it's not a good thing to be hurling full glasses of alcohol and smashing them against the walls." And we're like, "We'll see ourselves out. Don't worry." We realize,
Maybe just the right liquid next time.
But it seemed
that's a good story.
Reasonable thing to do at the time. I don't know why. When I look back at it as probably twice the age of what we were when we were doing that. Like back then, that seemed like that was something you could do, and it wasn't that bad. It was also a different time in New York than it is now.
Hey, you know what? That's actually a good segue because, as I recall, not only was it you and I, but we can enter in Jody Schaefer and George Christic.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is this, Nathan, this was actually the time when MTV Downtown was being made, which is so funny that we're kicking it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the hit place at the time, there was that place. And then there was like a place called Siberia.
That was it was the only bar in the subway system. You had to go down into the subway. And that was a real super cool, but I loved it.
And so the place we were at, it was like, I think, was it like Sierra Nevada was the thing at the time? And then if you went to Siberia, it was like Red Stripe or something, you know. But no, that was great. Like it started off innocent enough where it's like, hey, look at hey Chris, look, I could look, I'm Sam Malone. I'm gonna slide my beer over to you.
Yeah.
And then it spilled, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be Tapper, and I'm gonna slide it back. And yeah, before we know it, these bounces come, and we're like, we're like, oh thank God, because this was gonna just keep escalating. So
yeah.
That's awesome. So, Chris, I don't know if you know this, but Jody Schaefer drew merch for our current actual play. So this shirt I'm wearing right here was drawn by Jody. So we love Jody. He's awesome. But you, Jody, George, Shane, and Goat all went to SVA, right?
Yes, that is true. Yep. Yeah.
I think that's great because, like, you guys stayed together, I guess even Shannon more ways than one, but all this time and you guys are still friends and still play games together and hang out and enjoy each other's company, and that's like something that's super important to us, like the folks on the podcast, half of them were all people I met in college too, like 35 years ago, so I think that's like a great thing that this hobby that used to be just weirdos played is reached like a much broader audience now than when we were young. So what do you have any thoughts about kind of the new age of gamers that are coming into the hobby?
Man, it's weird that so many people are into this, but I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, this streaming, like Critical Role obviously was on the forefront of that. But, you know, when I was a kid, you couldn't, like, you needed somebody's older brother to teach you how to do this shit. You couldn't just, like, you read the books when you're a kid and you're like, you got to love Gary Gygax, but he wasn't, like, the clearest in the, like, way that he wrote the rules. It's, like, really, really, like, it's like if you're like a very experienced nerdy strategy gamer, maybe you can understand this a little bit. But as a kid, I started playing, I was like 9, 10 years old, and I needed an older brother to teach me. If there was YouTube and you could watch people play all day and night, then you could learn how to do it. And I think that's the thing that's opened the gates of how, like, this is open to so many people. It's like, you can see a bunch of people playing, and they're also like people who are like actors and shit who like improvisational comedy.
And they're good looking,
you know? Yeah. You know, all these things is
like us.
Yeah, exactly. Like us. Handsome. We're all handsome
on this. So let me ask you, Nathan and I were talking earlier, and I think, so what was your first experience with D&D? Like with me, it was actually Shadowrun, like a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But so like, how about you? Like, when did you get
I got some of the books. I think like my parents got me some of those D&D, like the basic set, like back in the 80s. And I didn't know, like, I couldn't understand it. I would just draw the character. I would just like, look at, I'm gonna just draw this lizard man. It looks cool. And then I'd try and figure out how to do it. And I couldn't comprehend it. And it was my friend's older brother, Andy German. You know, he was another guy from Jersey. You know, his older brother was like, this is how you play. And then we got into it. And I remember when I was in fourth grade, I started really, like, every day after school, probably fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I'd play with a crew of guys. And we would just go bananas because it was that thing where it was like based in some kind of rule system, but it's basically like anything you could imagine you could do. So we just, you know, it was like replaced our whatever the fuck else we would do before that, you know, play Atari or something instead of play D&D, you know.
Good old Atari. So now you're drawing before you started playing the games. Did the art in the books kind of inspire you in any kind of way to kind of keep drawing?
I was always drawing that shit. Yeah. And I've been able to meet a bunch of those guys, you know, going to GaryCon and these different places. Yeah. Errol Otis just did designs for this latest game. And he did a design for one of the vans that we have in the lobby at Titmouse. It's fucking insane that we get to work with guys like that. It's bananas. You know, guys that I've met, like Larry Elmore and all different guys, you know, at GaryCon. It's crazy, you know.
That's really amazing. Where you can kind of marry all these like two hobbies.
Yeah.
Hobby and a career.
yeah, for sure.
And that's kind of the dream for a lot of people is to take the things that they love to do and turn it into a career. And just like reading up more about Titmouse, one of the things I kept running into were You guys offer a lot of tips on how for how animators can kind of break in and how to build a reel and stuff like that. And I think that's actually pretty cool that you're like lending a hand to the kind of the next generation of artists out there. Is that like something that you came up with or?
Oh man, it's just part of it. Hot tips. That's what we did. I should send it. You know, it's funny. We were doing this stuff for, there's this expo called Lightbox Expo. I think that's the first time we did these like hot tips. And I got like all these people, these different actors back then, like this was during like pandemic prime, got all these like on Fiverr, like got all these different weirdo, like kind of like a doctor, a guy who's a doctor to say, make him like dressed as a doctor on a green screen to say all this ridiculous shit and stuff that we'd integrated into our hot tips. And they were like, what even is this? And I'm like, yeah, just say like Titmouse hot tips. And like whatever, they're getting paid their thing. They don't care what they're saying, I guess, but they were curious about what it is. I don't know if that's an answer to your question.
No, it's a sentence. Good.
Maybe it's a sentence. I don't know.
Half a sentence.
Yeah.
So any kind of pearls of wisdom that you can spit out off the top of your head right now of like how to get a leg up in the industry, how to get a job at Titmouse?
Oh, man. You just got to be into what you're doing. If you're going to draw every day all the time, and if you get sick of it, it's not for you. Or write every day or whatever. It's like I always liken it to like, hey, you know, if you want to be in the NBA or something, you got to like to play basketball all day, every day. If it's not your thing to do that, then look for something else. You got to be obsessed. Like one of the things Shannon said when I first started dating her, she asked me because I was working all the time. She's like, what would you do if you didn't do animation? I was like, I would probably be some kind of criminal, which she almost broke up with me at the time. Because she was freaked out by that. But I think it was my way of saying, I don't know how to do anything else. You know.
Yeah, that's a good answer, though. Criminal part.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it seems to be working out. Call me crazy, but I mean, just looking at what you guys do, I mean, from the Legend of Vox Machina, of course, we're just really popular, like in the circles that we run in. But Venture Brothers and did you do the video game sequence on Community?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite shows. I absolutely love that. So
nice. We did a few different animated bits on Community over the years. That was the longest one. That was like a whole episode.
Yeah, that was
we did like animated sequences on Community for a while.
Yeah, that's amazing. So it's really I knew like a few things that you did, but just so many things. What led to the kind of the whole creation? What's the origin story of Titmouse? Like, how'd you go from, student to, starting this up as a whole?
I mean, Nathan before, I'm gonna answer for you, and then you could say which parts are
all right. All right,
go for it.
All right,
take it away.
All right, so Chris. Chris goes to LA, and he's working. You're doing some stuff with Klasky Lupo. Was it Klasky Lupo? Is that right?
Chupo. It's almost Chupo, your Chupo. Name.
I was so close. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And while that's happening, Chris was really into there's a lot of cool artwork going on in LA at the time that, and so he was putting that artwork on t-shirts and selling those, just to to keep things moving along. How am I doing so far?
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. And this is after downtown. So downtown was a really cool thing, and obviously we had Comic-Con about a week ago, and Chris was showing me his stream deck where he had some answers that were already canned, and so it would have been funny if you had that. So Chris, is MTV Downtown ever going to come back?
Yeah. I wish I had that keyed up right now. Downtown will never come back. But we got t-shirts on sale. Titmousestuff.com. Another plug.
But I think that led into, let's see, you and I, one of the things we did professionally together was the MTV Movie Awards in 2000.
Oh, what a beast.
And yeah, and I think, behind the scenes, you guys were getting ready for a new show featuring a lovable character named Coop.
Oh, yeah,
About a robot that lands in Jersey City. And so can you tell us about
that progression? Yeah, well, that's a thing, you know, where, you know, I think as a reaction to getting a bunch of notes on shows like George and Jody, you know, came up with this project. At the time, it was called Lowbrow, of two kind of like slackers that had a giant robot, like found a giant robot. And then I got involved, you know, and my addition was adding a car as the head. That's the thing I could claim. The thing was like, why don't we do that? Because I was into cars and stuff. And if this guy's supposed to be like a guy who's in a junkyard in New Jersey, he'd have a lot of cars. And then, you know, did that pilot for Cartoon Network and did a couple of seasons. That was a great show. I was super proud of how that came out. And even though it was a kid's show, I think it was like really dumb. And that was another one where our friend Goat from college, we roped him to doing a voice and playing himself essentially, same character essentially as he played in Downtown, which is like rare. I think it's like, you know, maybe like Richard Belzer did that across the like
multi-dimensional character.
Yeah, exactly. Goat's one of those guys. I try to put him in as many shows as possible, even like after he's dead. We're putting him in. It's crazy. Yeah,
that's great.
Is Goat gonna make it into anything else in the future?
Oh yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff, and he'll continue to be in it. You know, at least his image. You know, some version of what he looks like. I mean, sometimes we can't get it to be Goat technically. We just draw a guy that looks like him. Then that's what he is.
I think that's just really awesome. Just like a way to kind of honor a friend and I like Easter eggs too. I do it just with our dumb podcast. I'll sneak weird sounds in that mean something or stuff like that. So I can kind of get the urge to sneak something personal in that has nothing to do with the show that you're working on, but it means something to you. How do you go from building up this animation empire, you know, Disney 2.0? How do you go from that? I'm fucking with you. How do you go from that to just like, oh, now I want to make my own TTRPG? How do you? Where'd that come out of?
You know, we always try to put together like a weirdo, like kind of bespoke, like client gift, you know, try and send something weird out to people and, you know, we'll do this or that. And at a, you know, there was a time where we would try to hit that, like, you know, the kind of like winter holidays, right? The like Christmas, New Year's kind of gift. And we just kept whiffing it. We just kept not making it. And then it's like, oh, we'll do it as like a New Year's gift. And then we kept missing that. And then it was a Valentine's Day gift. And then we landed on like 420 is a good like thing for us. You know, that kind of, it's like a stoner holiday. So like we'll send out a 420 gift. And we've done things like an old school dugout, you know, with a little one hitter in there, or like a wake and bake mug. And one year I was like, let's do a DM screen, like a game master screen type thing. We get some cool art, but it's like, what are we going to print on the inside of it? So we came up with like quick and dirty rules, for a drinking game, like a drinking smoking game, like, you know, whatever vice you want to apply to it. You can. We did it kind of as a joke and play tested it just like once, and it was good enough, and we sent it out. Didn't really think about it, but then people actually played it and liked it. And Luke Gygax, you know, the son of Gary Gygax, is a guy I know from GaryCon and this and that. He's like, man, you should do like a crowdfunding campaign for that. I bet people will like that. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And we did a couple more play tests and we added some stuff because all the rules used to be on the screen. And we're like, we need some cards. People are Kupo shooting like an avant.
He's like going crazy. Like, I'm going to make a reel just of that.
He's shooting it the way he's shooting it. He loves it. There you go.
Please continue. Yeah.
But we're just like, hey, let's print stuff out on big cards so people can see this shit while they're drunk and in the dark and stuff. Mm. And I was like, well, we know a bunch of cool artists, so let's get a bunch of cool artists to do art for the cards. And that's worked out. And, you know, we're in the middle of our crowdfunding. I think we're at like, I don't know, like 86,000 or something like that. Yeah. We're trying to hit 100,000 this week. That'd be cool. You know, we're going to add some more stuff, some cool, more like an additional stretch goal that if we hit 100,000, this custom t-shirt, we're going to put it in the delinquent. If you go for the delinquent level, you know, you'll get a custom t-shirt now if we hit 100,000. That's our stretch goal. And we're doing a stream on Friday night where we'll be counting down. We'll see what we end up with at that point.
That's fine. You have like a billion artists working on this with you, which is pretty cool.
Or like maybe 20. I don't know if it's a billion.
I might be exaggerating slightly. You
tiny bit. But, maybe like 25.
Do you want to run through a few? Give them some cred.
Here's what I'm gonna do. So I don't fuck it up and forget. I'm gonna actually
just pull it up.
Bring up the backer kit and just read them off. All right, so I'm doing some art. Pendleton Ward, creator of Adventure Time. Skinner, like kind of badass weirdo. Realm Runners is a game you mean. Heather Mahler, another like cool weirdo. Jenny Goldberg, also known as the daughter of Eric Goldberg, who's a famous Disney animator. Matt Fury, you might know him. He's Pepe the Frog. Jody Schaefer, who we just talked about. Cheese, another guy that we went to school with. Dave Cooper, like bananas comic artist, illustrator, painter, cool motherfucker. Abby Jame, I'm going to stop giving credits because it's going to take too long. Abby Jame, Sean Glaze, Coop, Dave Johnson, Maddie Brewer, Errol Otis, The Wizard of Barge, Sangu Kwan, Ben Edlund, Andy Seriano, Christy Caracas, Johnny Ryan, Ian Jones Quarty, Will Carsola, Phil Barassa, James Martin, Antonio Canobio, Todd James. That's most of them, if not all of them. We'll see. It's a lot of badass.
That's a list there.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't a billion.
I just, you know, you've got a lot of artists on there, so I think it's good to.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, one thing that's kind of cool is listening to those folks out. Ben, Jody, like it really ranges, and I think what's kind of cool, and I'll get all mushy and say, it speaks to you because a lot of these folks, like you've met these guys in college and
yeah,
you've had these, you know, tight bonds ever since. And so I think that speaks a lot to who you are. Cause you know, I've worked with people 25 years ago. I never want to see them again.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
so I think that's cool that you have like, you know, this, not only are people really into it now, which is fantastic, but it's also like, It speaks to your friendships where they're like, yeah, absolutely. I'll throw some, you know, artwork
in. Yeah, they don't absolutely hate me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Not absolutely.
But I think that's another thing I was mentioning it to Nathan earlier was how much do you think, there's two questions I had actually, which was like, how much do you think the pandemic also helped with this reawakening? Because I don't remember... I guess I was sort of cognizant of like Critical Role.
Yeah, well, it definitely grew because I could tell you, like when we pitched, you know, we developed that show. You know, I knew all those folks because they're voice actors and animation. And Sam Riegel specifically worked for us as a voice director on many shows. And then he came to me maybe 2015, 2016 when it was starting to like really Critical Role was starting to gain some momentum. He's like, yeah, we're doing this stream. You're a big like D&D guy, right? And I'm like, yeah. Or like what we like to call it is a tabletop role-playing game guy, right? You're a big tabletop role-playing game guy. And I'm like, yeah, man, I am. And he's like, you think we got a show here? I'm like, yeah, I think so. So we started developing it. And, you know, we went out and pitched it in 2018 to a bunch of the buyers. But like, I don't think people could wrap their head around. We only had one offer, and it was a low ball offer. And I was like, you're going to have to make like the Aqua Teen Hunger Force version for this budget. They were just hanging around the tavern, like telling stories. And they were like, yeah, I don't think we want to do that. They had a good sense of what their brand was. And, you know, at that time, we were like, they're like, you think we could do a Kickstarter for this? And they had just done one with a partner. They didn't even do it. They just lended their IP to like a mini company, and they had raised like $1.2 million or something just on minis. And I'm like, you know, I think your audience, these critters, I think you might be able to do it. And we labored over this Kickstarter, you know, for the next like, I don't know, 5 months or something, trying to figure out like what should we ask for? And like, maybe if we cut some corners and we put all our resources into it, we could do like a badass special for like 750,000. But it's like, does the Kickstarter audience understand? It's a risk, right? Because it's like, we're an established company, they're an established brand. If you're asking for that much money, you don't know if your audience is gonna like understand that it takes that much money to like make a one-off thing. It actually takes considerably more, but we were like trying to cut all corners. And then we ended up like, it just went bananas. That Kickstarter went bananas, and we raised $11.3 million on that. And we were willing to do like a 10-episode series independently, but what happened was a lot of the buyers that passed came back and they're like, what are you doing with that show now? Because they don't really need money. But the proof of the audience was the thing. They're like, oh, there's all these people who are willing to spend real money to see this show. So Amazon had the best offer, you know, and we've got 3 seasons out now and a 4th one in the works. And, you know,
maybe, actually doing the maybe
Beyond, and we're doing the Mighty Nine show as well. You know, and that's coming out great. And, you know, I'm just stoked that this worked out. Who knew?
Yeah, I actually polled a bunch of folks on social media just to get their thoughts. And, like, it was universal. Like, everybody, like, loves the show. Some of the folks that I talked to didn't start playing D&D until after the animated show came out. Yeah. So you watch the animated show. Some I've definitely heard of people going from the actual play to playing D&D, but there's a couple that actually started playing D&D after watching the animated show. Which is that's really
I'm glad pretty, I could be a gateway awesome. Drug on that.
Yeah, I mean that's great. I mean it's such a great hobby. Like so and you still play, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah. And when you play, and it can be, doesn't have to be D&D, but any kind of game, what kind of character do you usually play? Do you have a type?
Yeah, I usually play like some kind of low, like, because I'll get drunk a lot and I'll just play like a fighter or something easy that I don't have to think too much about when I'm playing. Or sometimes I'll DM, which is also a different, you know, part of your brain to exercise.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, you know, if it's like, you know, a big group of assholes, you know, that I normally play with and are just going to be like, that's a whole party of Leroy Jenkins. I'll play a cleric. So I'll be like, all right, somebody's got to heal these guys up sometimes. Although, no. You know, this one game that we play, you know, I generally play, it's weird. It's on like either side, right? I'll usually either play first edition or fifth edition. We don't really fuck with the ones in the middle, or we'll play some other game system entirely. But on some of these first edition games, our friend Jack Alvino is the DM, and he's like, it's not like playing with anybody else. You can't even understand what it's like to play the game with this guy. It's like the rules, there's no rules. You can't understand what's happening in this thing, but it's fun.
So that's actually a good segue back to your Kickstarter. So that to me, it's kind of funny because I don't recall anybody taking, you know, some genuine debauchery and D&D and mashing them together.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned the 420 gift, which that's why I had my crazy camera thing before. I have it here somewhere, but you know, like a lot of us, it's like, yeah, it's here somewhere. So,
Yeah. So what's the goal of the game? What are you trying to accomplish with this game?
This game is basically like a one shot. It's a one night game. It's designed for, we've done a lot of playtesting with people who are RPG people and people who are not. And you can really just jump in. And if you get the basic set, you know, you got to roll up a guy. But if you opt to go for the deluxe set, it comes with 24 pre-rolled characters. And that's a pun, too, because that's a joke. A weak joke. But they're pre-rolled, which some of them we did on this last live stream. And I think we're going to roll some up on this next live stream we're doing on Friday night on the 8th. I don't know when this comes out, but
we're going to try and have it out this week.
If it comes out before the 8th, there'll be a bunch of people on that live stream. So maybe we'll roll up some more pre-rolled folks. You could jump right in. You won't even have to roll up a guy. But it's basically designed to be a one-shot. There's now a Alexei, who's one of the game designers who worked on it with me, did a whole how to play video, which went up this morning, which is a good thing. Maybe we can give you a link to that.
Because a lot
of these things has just been us getting drunk and going bananas, and it's like, how does this game even work? Like, Alexei did a real, logical, this is how the game, this is how you play it, this is how it works. It's basically, designed to be, fun and to get you drunk. And one of the initial ways that we had to play was, that you had your armor class / his points, which is the same in our game. It's just like one number that if you rolled above it, right? Let's say you have a 10 and somebody rolls a 12 or 13. Let's say 13, right? And let's say a 12. You roll a 12. That's 2 points over. You could use those 2 points to either drink or take damage, right? That was the thing. You could offset it. But then after all the playtests, nobody ever decided to take damage. They always decided to drink. So we're like, okay, the mechanic of this game is just going to be to see how drunk you can get. And if you get, once you're too drunk and you tap out, that's when you're out. Like, you can't die. You could just get so drunk that you tap out or so fucked up or whatever. But there's a sober mechanic too. So you could play it by doing push-ups or eating jalapeno peppers.
So for your Mormon friends. I grew up with Mormons who taught me how to play D&D. So that's what they would have to
do. So they could do whatever. It's like, hey, if they can't do any more push-ups or they can't eat any more jalapeno peppers, they're out, right? So that's kind of the thing. And everybody gets to be the drunken master, right? The drunken master is what we're calling it. So basically you run the monsters, the screen just goes around the table. So it's like every new round you roll up. I thought when we initially conceived it, I thought this was just going to be a murder hobo game. I thought it was just going to be a combat based game. And you would, these monsters are fun and they're all puns on vices, right? Yeah. Drugs and drinking. But what was surprising to me when we did the playtesting is people got really into the RP aspect and they did a lot of role playing. And one of the things we're thinking about doing as stretch goals, or maybe we'll just do it, is make it, because it was just going to be like, it's a dungeon. You're just in a dungeon of monsters attack was like the initial idea. But as we've been playing, as we've been playtesting and there's more RP, is we're thinking about, introducing some scenarios, like mini modules, like maybe like a one sheet module of like, here's the scenario in which you are, starting. So it gives you like a kickstart to your RP, because it's been fun. The RP has been an interesting part of it that I didn't think was going to be a part of it, but it makes sense. Everybody, it's a real kind of humorous game. And, yeah, so we'll be doing that. I don't know. Did I answer that question? I feel like I
went. No, that's great.
Yeah.
It's kind of grown a lot bigger than what you originally conceived of.
Yeah. Like, it feels like it went from a joke that I thought nobody was going to play to like a viable game that I thought was just going to be like a combat game that was like one step above a board game, to like actually being a somewhat like viable actual role-playing game, like against all odds, it grew into that.
Accidentally.
And at the end of the day, if you don't want to even play this game, you got a fucking cool-ass Dungeon Master screen that glows under a black light that you could use for any other shit if you want to run another game. Cool Skinner, DM screen and have some cool art to look at. And a custom 12-sided die, you could just get it for that if you want.
One question about the game. So many games are online right now. Can you play Druggies and Delinquents online? Is there a way to do that? Or is it
not yet,
in person?
But maybe in the future. It's a good idea. You know, it's a physical game. You know, with a drinking game, I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but I guess you could do it on Zoom or something, probably.
Yeah. I mean,
I've never been on a Zoom call and, like, gotten drunk playing D&D before. So, I don't know.
What a weird idea. Who would do that? That's crazy talk. I don't know. What a dumb idea. Jeez, why even, like, say that? I don't know.
But right now I'm happy with the set that I got where it is, like, it is. I was also mentioning that we had a long conversation apparently earlier, but like, I love the fact that, like, I love the Zoom. It is great. And, you know, but it is something different being in the same room and going back, going old school and just, like, you know, and throwing your full pints of beer at each other. Like, it's a lot. It's cool being
throwing up in buckets. Yeah. That gives you, like, a tactile and sensory, full sensory. It's the experience.
Yeah.
We've talked to the folks that did Morkborg.
Yeah.
And just how much of a role art plays in all those games is really it was pretty fascinating to me. Like, basically, and it hit me too. Like, I saw the game, had no idea what it was, and I said, okay, I have to own that.
It looks
cool. It looks metal, you know. I think, you know, with the kind of art that I've seen so far that you're doing for this, I think that's probably a big driver for folks.
Yeah,
even if they never end up playing it, they'll have the.
I mean, that's what I like. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, before I even knew how to play the game, I would just look at the art. I would just stare at the art. I mean, that's a huge driver for me. And part of the aesthetic of this was not to, like, come up with a specific aesthetic, was to make it feel like that first edition where every artist just kind of draws shit in their own style. And I think these cards, they're big too. They're really big. We're making these cards big.
Like so how big? That,
like, if you know, this is going to work out well for the AARPG crowd. It's like, if you're drunk and it's dark, you'll be able to see them with your bad eyesight.
Thank you for the sound bite.
Tony accepts that challenge.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I usually have things read to me, but that's, you know, You reminded me the first one I think I showed you, Chris P, maybe I showed you too, Nathan, was the Indiana Jones TSR set.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And again, you had, like, it was, you know, back in the '80s, and so there was a limited run of, like, Indiana Jones comics. There was a couple of magazines once in a while, but this was, again, like, it's like you bought it because of the artwork. And it helped you continue what you loved the most about, whether it was Dungeons and Dragons, Raiders of the Lost Ark, or other TSR, like, you know, games. And so that was another unique thing where you're just so hungry to continue whatever story was floating your boat at the time.
Well, another example that's your recent ElfQuest just went back to Kickstarter too. I love those comics growing up, and it's like, I mean, I want to back it, but like, I don't know if I'll ever play it. But I just remember that, like, that art from that comic really kind of stood out at that time for me anyway. So yeah, I like the kind of marriage of art and game. It just really just makes just gives a lot more life to a system rather than just a chart with a bunch of numbers that you roll on. It's having a a bullet next to it, jumping out of the ground. it evokes some sense of adventure and or danger or fun, you know. It's nice that I think it's great that you're able to kind of marry your two loves in this way.
Yeah.
Well, so you know, that kind of brings things into another full circle thing, which is kind of cool. With, you know, Nathan, I got to send you a link, but amongst the School of Visual Arts crew, like, there's a Dungeons and Dragons commercial, like, that was produced by everybody. And so I need to put a link in that's on YouTube, right? Somewhere.
I got, I could find that, because I think I've looked at that.
I think book. I might have, that was I Cone's, think I might have saw it. That, like, George, that was, did George do it or something?
Cone did that commercial.
Yeah. So there's Jody Schaefer's in it. I think who's the Rogues Gallery in there?
Yeah, I'm in it. Goat's in it. Jody's in it.
Yeah.
Bunch of people.
I reached out to Jody this weekend.
Why?
I was trying to find something like I could embarrass you guys with, but Jody was no help. I have to tell you, he has your back. He would not betray you at all. So,
well, luckily you got me here. So. Yeah.
We do a great job of embarrassing ourselves.
Yeah, it's bulletproof. All right, so here we go, Nathan. I think you get a kick, and viewers at home.
Your heartbeat quickens and your palms grow sweaty as the tension builds within the room. Slowly you feel yourself falling deep into a fantasy world full of action and adventure. Come, join your friends and enter the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
But Chris, what I was leading up to was, like, you know, with this experience and I look at, like, I was fortunate enough to come to Titmouse, and, like, it's become a great time to admit that you like Dungeons and Dragons and that you like tabletop. Do you see this, you know, do you see any projects of your own, like, where it's like, hey, you know, here's another angle I'd like to maybe pursue? Is there something you've been thinking about?
Like, what do you mean, another D&D show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe,
I mean, what I like, call tabletop role-playing game show?
No.
That's for legal reasons.
Hey, Chris, have you thought about maybe pondering another tabletop, like, maybe your own take on, like, a cartoon show or something along those lines? That there's a lot of great stuff. There's, you know, obviously, but maybe something with your unique spin on it.
Well, we're going to be shooting something soon. I'll hit you up with that when that's ready. You know, our own, like, fucked up take on one of these, like, people playing tabletop role-playing games. We'll see how that goes. I'll let you know. Our buddy Austin is shooting it, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, Nathan. There is one last thing. Luckily, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and I saw a really, you know, I've been seeing this more and more of these heartwarming pictures on the social media sites involving your kids, and it seems like it's a natural thing. You're passing the torch, and so, like, what is that like?
Oh yeah, the kids, they love playing it. Yeah. Like, my son and George's son they playing a lot of games. But what my son loves about the other sons, I'll try not to use their names just in case. I don't know if the parents all want their names on here. But it's like, he loves, because he's like, he loves, like, brutality and destruction. He wants to play with them to, like, they're all, like, crazy murder hobos, like, going bananas. And it gives them an outlet to be horrible, horrible players, which I
never really grew out of that. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's great. How old are they?
12.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's I mean, yeah.
perfect days.
Like 12, 13, yeah. You're supposed to be a murder hobo.
Yeah.
Even one of the other guys, Matt, his kids, he ran for a bunch of a game for a bunch of teenage girls, and he was trying to make a fun little game, and they just went total. They killed like everything.
Yeah,
they could.
One of the first games that he tried to run as a DM, he was up against it because it's like half of the game where these like cool like LA like girls. And he was trying to run it at a pool party, and the pool was beckoning them. And they're like, he's like trying to get them to pay attention to the game. And they're like, but then he got them, you know? And then the thing I had to coach him on, I was like coaching DM, because one of the girls figured out an angle on the game. He put like a store in the middle of the dungeon where they could get magic items and stuff. And like one of the girls realized that she had a spell, you know, like some kind of spell where she could like mind control somebody. And she's like, can I mind control the shopkeeper and make him give us all of his cool shit? And he was like, no. And I was like, man, you gotta let her do it. You gotta let her try. You gotta let her roll for it. At least you can't like determine what the players, you could set up the structure, but you can't tell them what to do. And he got that. Yeah.
That's an important lesson to learn at that age, because the players will always fuck with you.
They're always like, trying to break the game. That's what I always think. It's
something that you would never plan for. Yeah.
I think it's a lesson now. I mean,
yeah.
One of our friends, he runs a game, and he kind of, I feel so bad. He comes up with these amazing, wonderful side quests, and we find ways to ruin it every single time.
He created this whole horror scenario, and we all decided that we wanted to be a rock band.
Yeah.
And Tony basically plays. Tony's basically Goat.
Yeah.
The lead singer for this heavy metal D&D band. So he wanted this nice horror show, and we just turned into like a total clown show. It was amazing.
Nice.
Well, anyway, that's enough about me. We're not interviewing us.
Hey, by the way, where can I get this game of yours? This is time for the plugs.
You get it on Backer Kit. If you search on Backer Kit, Drunkards, Druggies, and Delinquents. Maybe you can search Titmouse too. I don't know. You guys can probably put a link.
I'll put all kinds of links in there. But I can't wait to see it, because it's really like I saw this announced, and like I saw it, oh, this is like totally right up our alley. and then I didn't realize it was you until like later. It's like, oh. Well, shit. Okay, now I get it. So, anyway.
So you saw it first.
Yeah,
I saw who made it. Nice.
I had no idea. I just saw Drunkards, Druggies, and Delinquents, and I was like, all right, click, click, click.
Nice.
I'm easy. You know, it's not that I drink that much or all the time or anything. It's occasional. Like, I can quit any time, but
I'm looking at it right now, and it's you just want to click on all of them. You get that, everybody at home? Just click on all of them and buy them all at the same time.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about these crowdfunding things is that there's so much cool stuff, and I'm 54 years old, and I'm never going to get a chance to play everything I'm buying.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Oh, by the way, are you, I don't know if you guys have any plans. Are you going to be hitting any of the cons like PAX or, you know, things, that sort of stuff? Yeah.
I mean, I'll be at Gary Con. I'll probably be at Gen Con too. I don't know if I'll hit any of the other ones. I'll see.
Yeah.
So many cons to go to.
There are. Yeah. It's a challenge to like, you know, remain married and go to all the cons. So,
yeah. I feel like this last month I went to like Pixelado in Mexico, and then Ottawa Animation Festival, and then New York Comic Con in New York, and then Lightbox in Pasadena, like all in a row. It was bananas.
Yeah.
It's like, you got it. It's too many.
Well, I'm glad I saw you at New York. That was
really fun. Yeah, that's a fun one. I always liked that one.
Well, Chris, I think I'm going to let you go, but I do have one final surprise announcement for everybody.
Yeah.
And just, you got to wait for it. Big super announcement. We're kicking Tony off the show.
Yay. Oh, thank God. Right. That was 2 years overdue, but go ahead.
No. Love you, Tony. Chris, any final words for us as we sign off?
Oh, man. No, I don't know. But you see if you could look at this game. Maybe you want to get this game. I don't know.
Yeah, well, all I know is, like, I'm looking forward to getting my set. And, yeah, Chris, I'm glad you it's a really cool idea, and I'm glad it's, you know, it's manifesting itself.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Great meeting you. Again, anytime you think of some dirt on Tony, you can feel free to reach out, and I live to embarrass Tony Kupo. So
nice,
yay! Thank you.
But yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Tony, for coming on, and everybody for watching, listening, however you're consuming this. And go check out Drunkards, Druggies, and Delinquents. Thanks, everybody.
Nice.
Cool.
Thank you.